Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He blesses the boys as they stand in line. The smell of gun grease and their bayonets, they shine. He's there to help them all that he can. To make them feel wanted, he's a good holy man.
For tuning into this tiny infinitesimal portion of the interwebs and allowing my raspy lesbian voice to spray its jizz all over the lobes of your brain. It's me, Duncan Trussell, and you're listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, and you're alive. You did it. You're the head of a DNA snake that traces its way all the way back through time to the orgasm of your proto-hominid great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- mutated semen that splattered against the eggs of your great 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 proto-hominids that allowed it to talk and eventually allowed it to build Zoom R16 recorder interfaces, which allowed people like me to create podcasts. You're that DNA snake, and your body is punctuated by the orgasms of so many of your ancestors. This hot potato, this DNA hot potato, gets transmitted via orgasm. And that's pretty cool. If you ask me, that's a wink from God or the super creator or the aliens that created us saying it ain't that bad. The only way this fucking thing keeps rolling is through the best feeling that there is. Negative people will tell you the orgasm is just a lure that the DNA uses to try to keep itself extending through time. But I think it's a little signature that the Supreme Creator put on the specific life forms that that exist on this planet. Most life on this planet has something to do with orgasm. We don't know if flowers come. That's something we'll never know, but it sure seems like they do. When you look at these beautiful flowers that I have here in my house, and they're spread open with their stamens sticking out, just waiting for a bee to go crawling around on top of it. It's pretty fucking hot. If you think about it, bees crawling around in the genitals of a flower, that's how flowers reproduce. They let bees climb inside of them. and letting a bug make you come is not that crazy an idea, believe it or not, because the guy who was driving us around when we were in, where were we? When I was in Atlanta, when I was performing in Atlanta with Rogan, the guy driving us around told me one of the most fascinating and horrifying things that I have ever heard in my life, which is that when he was in Vietnam, his friend told him, you know, you're not going to get laid a lot in Vietnam. It just doesn't happen. I guess they were stationed in a place where there weren't a lot of chicks. So here's what you do if you want to come. This is NSFW, guys, so get ready. So what you do is you, this is what the driver told me. What you do is you take your cock and you take a fly and you put your cock just sticking up out of a bathtub, like the top of the cock is sticking up out of a bathtub. Then you pull the fucking wings off the fly. And you put the fly on the tip of your cock. And then I guess you kind of like start humping up and down, almost getting the fly towards the water. And because the fly is desperately trying to survive, it'll start running circles around the tip of your cock. And this will make you come. So there's some advice to all of our brothers overseas. If you feel like fucking a fly, there's how you do it, you sadistic sons of bitches. See, the specific part of the multiverse we live in is surrounded by so many parallel versions of the multiverse where the experience of these beings is one of absolute H.P. Lovecraft-style hell. Because there was a flying being that existed in Vietnam that was just flying around. Who knows what its life was? Who knows? Maybe it was delivering a message to Lord Methronex, the king of the flies. Maybe it had some import. Maybe it was carrying a little bit of Vietnamese cow shit to its girlfriend as a gift. Who knows what that fly was doing? But that fly crossed paths with a man who was horny. And that, to the fly, it just looked like some giant, some huge hairless monkey thing. Probably wearing fatigues. Maybe the fly thought it was some kind of mutated tree because it was covered in camouflage. Who knows? But that fly flew too close to the giant. And the giant grabbed the fly and ripped its wings off and put it on its enormous mushroom-shaped dick. It's a death. If that happened to us, you would go insane. If you were a space traveler and your spaceship landed on a planet of giants and you get out of the spaceship and one of the giants plucks you up, pulls your arms off, and drops you on the tip of its enormous cock, and you desperately writhe around on its cock, trying to escape the water underneath, just trying to survive as the blood pumped out of the stumps of your arms. And the last thing you see as your mind slowly sinks into insanity and shock is a giant volcanic geyser of giant jizz spraying on top of your armless body. That's what it was like for that fly. That poor fly. Somebody should build a statue in memory of that fly because that fly got raped by a soldier. Moment of silence for the raped fly. It doesn't all have to be that bad. Some of it's incredibly good. We're so lucky to be alive. We're so lucky that our forefathers, our ancestors, had the courage to have an orgasm during the Dark Ages. Do you know the guts it takes to come during medieval times? Do you know how hard it must have been to have an orgasm during the Dark Ages? These people didn't know about. They barely knew that you should bathe. Maybe they took two baths a year. Women didn't trim their vaginas back then. There was no grooming of the pussy. Grooming your pussy meant clearing the fleas and the lice away long enough so that your lover could stick his festering plague cock in there long enough to get some of that plague-ridden jizz inside of you. And it was pretty much a death sentence. It was like playing Russian roulette every time you got that medieval jizz inside of you, because something like one out of four women who got pregnant back then just hemorrhaged to death once the baby came splattering out of their flea-covered pussies. There was no cesarean section. And if there was a doctor who was helping you, there was a really good chance that he had just been fisting a corpse, trying to find, trying to see if he could find a heart inside the ass of a man. People in the Dark Ages barely understood anatomy because there was a, they weren't allowed to operate on people. So they had these weird ideas about how the body worked. So once you gave birth to your medieval baby that was probably going to get eaten by a giant rat and started bleeding out because the thing's head was too big, and you were a malnourished human who'd only been eating rancid jerky and a few glasses of stagnant water a day, and you were 5, maybe 4'8" because you were so malnourished that your body hadn't grown to the right height and your vagina wasn't elastic enough to create a baby. And as you were bleeding out, a doctor would come wearing a stork mask with his hands covered in corpse shit and look at your and touch your vagina and just infect you with all kinds of diseases and viruses, and you die an incredibly painful, horrible death. So, a moment of silence for that poor corpse-infected vagina of our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. She had the guts to fuck in the Dark Ages, and that takes a lot of guts. It's just one segment on the great genetic snake that stretches all the way to now, to this moment now. You did it. Your DNA made it through cave bear attacks, plagues, witch burnings, fascist dictatorships, nuclear bombs, Klan rallies, slavery, the oppression of women, and God knows what else to get you here right now at this very moment, the very tip of the crest of the genetic wave that is humanity. And thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast instead of running out in the world and screaming in joy that you made it. You did it. You're here. This could be it. This could be the generation where science figures out how to double the human lifespan. And during that time when the human lifespan is doubled, there could be infinite numbers of discoveries that triple or quadruple the human lifespan, allowing us to live forever, if that's what you want. And it won't be a bad life either. It'll be a life with augmented reality sandboxes. Well, if that doesn't make sense, go to the website, duncantrussell.com, and check out augmented reality sandboxes, something I'm currently obsessed with, where they project terrain on sandboxes and you put your finger through the sand and water goes running, or virtual water goes running through. It's incredible where we're headed, is what I'm saying. And we owe it all to a series of orgasms had by people in some of the most treacherous times in human history. So give it up for them. And give it up for people who have the guts to fuck flies. And give it up for yourself, because you did it. You're here. You're alive. And you don't have to spend the rest of the day wasting your time. You don't have to spend the rest of the day being beaten down by society. If your ancestors had the guts to fuck when their entire body smelled like a bag of diapers, then you should have the guts to get off your ass and go for a jog. Get off your ass and go to the gym. Work out. Clean your house. Comb your hair. Wash your beard. Wash your underarms. There's no excuse for you to smell like a medieval peasant sex when you live in the most advanced time in all of human history. Get clean. Wash your clothes. Stop procrastinating. And most importantly, find someone sweet and come inside of them. But make sure they're on their on a pill, on any pill. Make sure they took a pill, vitamin, whatever. Just do it. If you want to keep the snake going, keep it going. Don't listen to these people who tell you not to have a baby. If you want to have a kid, have a kid. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you want to doom a being to death, doom a being to death. If you want to take the karma on for creating a being that's going to plummet into oblivion, do it. If that's your desire. But do it because you want to do it. Don't do it because you forgot to bring condoms to the beach. And that's my public service announcement. And congratulations to President Obama for coming out and saying that he thinks gay people should get married. And I know it's probably some form of political maneuvering, but he still fucking did it. Okay, good job, Obama. Now send him a letter and tell him to stop arresting farmers, and we'll be set. All right, everybody, we've got an incredible podcast for you today. I'm really quite excited about putting it up. But first, some business. Are you one of those people who has skin so sensitive that if you put on a Hanes cotton t-shirt, your entire body breaks out in festering blisters and boils? Are you one of those people that you are so sensitive that if your nipples touch regular cotton, you get the stigmata of Christ and feel the pains of Jesus being crucified in his last moments on the cross as he has the sense of complete existential emptiness and loneliness that all of us feel? Do cotton shirts make you feel like you're living in no exit? Because they're rough and hard. It's like sandpaper. Does it make you feel like you just brushed up against a gigantic burr-covered thousand-eyed alien beast with pinchers that breathes fire and has within its stomach 1,000 virgin women slowly boiling in its stomach acids? Then I've got the solution for you. Go to SureDesignT-Shirts.com. SureDesignT-Shirts.com is a t-shirt company that had to leave the United States because their t-shirts are so comfortable that they get you high. Wearing one of these t-shirts is equivalent to taking 3 Valium. If you wear these t-shirts and drink too much, you could go the way of Jim Morrison. They're so soft. There was a time, not that long ago in human history, where my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was banished from the village because of some indiscretions he had with some of the local teenage village girls. And this was during a hard winter, and he ended up deep in the forest with only wearing a crappy cotton t-shirt and some gym shorts, and he was freezing. I think it was 58 degrees. It was cold enough to be uncomfortable, according to his diary. And wandering out of the woods, he saw a unicorn. And the unicorn came to him, and the unicorn said to him, "My brother, human, son of God, child of the earth, how can I help you get back to the village?" My grandfather pulled out his sword and gutted the unicorn, skinned the unicorn, and wore the soft, luxurious pelt of the unicorn in place of that awful cotton shirt that he was wearing. And according to my great 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 grandfather's journal, there was nothing that felt so soft. There was nothing that felt so good, and there was nothing that took away the cold pain of that awful forest. Well, now there is something that's as soft as the pelt of a unicorn, because these Short Design t-shirts are not only made of unicorn pelts, they're made of baby unicorn pelts. In fact, the fetuses of unicorns is what these are made of. It's a big problem in Thailand. The unicorns out there are horny as fuck, and they constantly fuck, and they get pregnant, and they get a lot of trouble, they get on drugs. There's a lot of unicorn abortion clinics in Thailand where these unicorns have to go in there because they're sluts and they get the babies cut out of them. And the sacks of unicorn embryos, some of them still twitching and alive, desperately trying to grant wishes and summon fairies to come to their aid. These bags are taken to the Shore Design T-shirt print shop. Where the fetuses are transformed into the softest shirts that you will ever put on your skin. So go to SureDesignT-Shirts.com, and if you put my name in, you get 10% off. They also have badass designs. They're incredible. So go there. Don't be a fool. Don't make the mistake of not going to SureDesignT-Shirts.com and putting my name in there, because if you do, from what I've heard, your brain will explode. Now, I guess that's the end of the commercial. Now, before we get on with this, what may be the greatest podcast in the course of human history, I want to make a really exciting announcement. This is an amazing, this is the first time in my life that I've ever done this, and I owe a lot of it to my incredible web designer, Stee, who came up with an awesome idea of doing a t-shirt contest for the Duncan Trussell Family Hour Forum, and letting some of the artists there submit their designs, and then letting the members of the community vote on the t-shirts to see which ones that they would like. And so we have opened up pre-sales for some super cool t-shirts. One of them is me levitating with weird psychedelic things floating around me. Pretty fucking awesome. The other one is a pyramid octopus thing that's just slain a vampire laying in front of it. Really fucking cool. The other one is the Duncan Trussell Family Hour logo on a t-shirt. It's pretty awesome. But they're there for you now, and it's only $20. And guess who's making these shirts? Sure Design t-shirts. So these shirts are soft. Not only are the designs badass, and not only can you express your allegiance to the Duncan Trussell family and show other people that you are tuned in to the frequency that this podcast represents, which is the frequency of harmonized chaos and the emergent paradigm that will eventually transform this entire planet into one cosmic orgasm, waking up the universe and allowing the eye of God to shine through all things. You can be a part of that by wearing one of these shirts. If you feel like wearing one of these badass shirts, go to DuncanTrussell.com. Check them out. We also have some Little Hobo Chaos posters left for you to order. Go to the shop. Check it out. Go there. Now, for the podcast. Today's guest, he is a brilliant comedian. I'm always happy when he's on a show that I'm on, because he's so fucking fun to watch. As an example, I'll give one of my favorite character pieces that I've ever seen a comedian do. This Eddie Pepitone does, and they make this announcement that the Make-A-Wish Foundation is letting this kid with cancer come out and do stand-up comedy, because that's his last wish. And Eddie Pepitone comes out in a wheelchair, and it just turns into the most vile insult comedian ever. The kid's like an awful insult comic and just starts insulting the audience in the most awful ways. And it's super fucking funny. It's so funny that I've thought of it. I've thought of it many, many times since the time I got to see it. And his stand-up is stellar and incredible. And he also happens to be a modern-day mystic and an all-around super cool guy. So everybody, please open your third eyes and turn them in the direction of Eddie Pepitone's divine and perfect astral body, and blast him with all the love rays that you can muster. The Duncan Trussell Family Hour now welcomes Eddie Pepitone.
Was very intense.
We are here at the Duncan Trussell Family Hour with one of my favorite comedians of all time, Eddie Pepitone. Hello.
Hello, everybody. I just want to say my mother died alone,
And I wasn't able to be with her because I was watching a game that was so good. I was like, well, I can help her transition to the other side, or I can watch the Giants drive for a game-winning touchdown. And I chose the game-winning touchdown. And it's the decisions we make, you know. I don't regret it. I don't regret it.
You don't? Well, that's probably what she would have wanted.
Son, I'm scared. Will you help me transition into the light? Mom, the Giants are on the 12-yard line. There's a minute 52 left.
Yeah.
I would love to come, but I can't. And she then said, okay, I'll die alone in fear. And I said, thank you. I also just ordered a pizza.
You're brave. Yeah. You must have a great therapist.
My therapist is very good, actually, these days. She's very quiet. At first, I thought I was going to intimidate the shit out of her. You know, I would come into the office and I looked daggers at her, you know, all my rage. And she looked like, oh, my God, I can't handle this guy. You know, I'm a Southern California woman who's very demure. I'm about 60. I enjoy, serenity. And this guy, ooh, this is a lot of rage. I mean, I know I'm a shrink, but do I really need to put up with this?
Right. And she took you on.
She took me on. And you know, are you in therapy?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. I finally learned this. This is my third round of therapy, is that they are not going to heal. This is what I learned. They are not going to heal me. I am going to heal me. They're like a medium. They point the way. It's like any guru.
Yeah.
You know, it's like any kind of spiritual growth. You have to do it. They can facilitate it, but that's all they can do.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. They can't. No one can help you.
I don't think so. That's what I've come to. And, you know, it isn't as dour as it sounds, because we really don't need help. We have everything we need.
Exactly.
It turns out.
Well, no. And also, oftentimes, the act of helping someone, you're hurting them. The act of trying to do the thing where you help, it's 9 times out of 10, you're fucking enabling
them.
That's
true. My dad loaned me money whenever I got in trouble for many years because, you know, being an artist is so hard, and I'm a lazy fuck. We were talking about this off the air. I quit drugs and alcohol about 13 years ago, even though I did slip back to it for a couple of years. Basically, since I'm 40, I'm 53 now. Since I'm 40, I've been pretty clean and sober.
That's incredible.
More or less, you know. I had a couple of years where I was like smoking pot again, and you know, like, oh shit, look at this porn. Oh fuck, I'm so high. I'm gonna jerk off. I'm gonna fuck everybody. I'm gonna fuck. And of course, when you're high, you don't do anything like that. What happens with me when I get high, which is why I stay away from it, I get so self-loathing. Like, I become a pleasure machine. Like, this is me when I'm high. Like, I'm like, oh, everything is so pleasure. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love this cheesecake, and I love this hockey game, and I love this movie, and this feel. I love this suede couch, and I love, you know, but nothing gets developed internally, at least for me.
Right. No, I think that's a very honest way to put it. And I think that if you get addictive with marijuana, that definitely can happen to you. Where you say it's the same with all drugs, because it's
there are productive people though who smoke.
There are productive people, but you have to.
Not me, though.
You have to. You can't let the drug, whatever the drug is, trick you into becoming the reward mechanism. You know, it seems like your brain rewards you when you do really good things. When you work really hard, at the end of the day, that feeling is the most incredible feeling ever. So if your brain gets confused and starts thinking that the high is the reward instead of the thing to facilitate whatever work it is you're trying to do,
I guess that would be if I wasn't, an addict or addictive personality, I could be able to use marijuana like that, like smoke, and then just kind of let it take me on a ride and realize that this isn't the goal, but I'm just kind of surfing.
Right.
I'm surfing, you know. I'm surfing my consciousness. That's what I'm surfing.
You're using it as an amplification device to try to get closer towards your goals. But some people don't do that, can't do that. They don't want to do that. And and you have to be really honest about yourself if you're not doing that. Because you can trick yourself into thinking that you're...
Oh, totally. I still... You know, lying and honesty are actually, I think, really hard things, especially in today's world, because we live in a world which is based on lies. And I mean, I mean governments and the media, the things that we hear and the people who send them out to us are fucking liars.
Yep.
And there's no other way to put it. They are liars. We live in the United States right now. I can't speak for other countries, but our country is so corrupt.
Yes.
So morally fucking bankrupt. And I don't mean there's people, you know, you go house to house down this block, I'm sure there's some honest people, but the people who govern, you know, the people in power, the corporate control, those people, the big families who run everything, they just fucking lie to control, and then we believe the lies. And I don't know how I got started on this.
Well, no, I know, because you're talking about lying to yourself. You're talking about the state of consciousness where you're lying to yourself as an addict and pretending that you're not an addict, or you're trying to.
Right. And it's easy to lie to yourself in today's world, where, you know, these huge lies are perpetrated. Like, I just to give you an example, the society we live in, the capitalist society, one of the big lies that they perpetrate, or maybe the biggest lies, is that you need all kinds of products to make yourself feel better.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything. You need a new car, and then once that car gets old, you need another new fucking car. And you need, you know, there's 100 different types of cereals.
Yes.
That you can buy. And if you get the Count Chocula and not, you know, but maybe you want the Captain Crunch or the fucking, no, the granola with the berries and the sliced almonds, maybe that'll do the trick. Like every product, like the razor, the first razor pulls it back. But did you know the second razor kind of gets it? But then now we added the third fucking razor and it's so sick.
Yeah. Well, it's a confusion people have about happiness, and it's a confusion that corporations exploit. They recognize it and they exploit it to the highest degree possible by trying to hypnotize humans into thinking that they need these things. And it is all based on lies. That's the thing when you watch TV and you realize, okay, I'm watching TV. I'm watching people on TV in whatever the show is I like act like people. I'm watching actors act like people to sell products that don't really do anything to help you at all. So the whole thing is like all trickery from most TV.
But, and then it creates this just fucking bizarre world of illusion.
Yeah.
Like you turn off the TV and then you're like, okay, where am I? Like, you ever get that feeling, like when you really get into, television? Like, just television really is the great hypnotizer and corporate fucking feed bag. Yep. It's a feed bag. They put fucking, it's the big feed bag that they put on people.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's hilarious when you get, so this is where it gets really, really fascinating to me is, so you've got this corporate feed bag that's basically selling pharmaceuticals to people by creating illnesses that maybe don't even exist. You know, in other countries, it's illegal for pharmaceutical companies to advertise. Did you know
that's
that?
That's amazing.
Yeah, in some countries, you can't do that. They can't advertise. You can't, people aren't.
That's amazing. I mean, it's such the opposite here. Like, are you feeling lonely?
But
of course I'm feeling lonely. I'm a human fucking being. We all feel lonely.
But it's also
are you feeling tired?
How about? Are you is your primary antidepressant not working? It's like you're trying to climb on the back of another antidepressant. Are you getting tremors from Levitra? Like, it's shit to fix the stuff that the first thing did.
Yes. Oh, that's the best. When medications can create other shit. So you piggyback on shit. And then the lawyers, I love watching ads too, where it's like, have you taken Levitra? Well, the law firm, and are you experiencing psoriasis of the ass? Well, the law firm of Moskowitz and Shapiro, that's right, Jews.
Yeah.
We will get your fucking money. We'll scumbag fuck these people for you.
Do you have psoriasis? Is your nose, does your nose fall off and you have to sew it back on because you're using Levitra?
Yeah, do you have abnormal lustful feelings for your grandmother? It's there. They just try to come up with something. They come up with the symptoms and so it gets really curious when you have these horrible shows that you see on TV. And then we all know actors and we all know comedians who are desperately scrabbling to get onto this fucking
thing.
And many of them will act as though they're auteurs. They'll you know what I mean? They'll act as though they have this very lofty kind of idea of you know, their capacity as an artist, and then they're trying to get into the lowest possible denominator as far as art goes and expression of the self. Because when you're an actor and you're getting on one of these fucking sitcoms, you're not even expressing yourself as someone else wrote that shit for you. You're not even, you're reading lines that were written by someone in a room where they were being monitored by a network that had to run those lines through sensors who have to make sure that the lines that they're running through aren't going to upset the people manufacturing.
You know, right. I hear you. You know, from the actor point of view, and I am one, and I've been on sitcoms, and you know, you like, one of the things, man, first of all, you need money.
Oh, can I stop you there for a second?
Yeah.
My little indulgent thing against actors. I have been to over 300,000 commercial auditions.
I will not audition for commercials anymore. Thank fucking God. So I finally drew the line there.
That's beautiful. I just want to say I am as guilty as anyone else. I didn't mean to come off as though...
No, not at all. I mean, I hear you on
in
that,
in fact,
man.
You are an actor in the sense that you can act. I'm not an actor. I can't act. I'm a shitty actor.
I think you can.
Oh, no.
I think we all do things well. You know, we all do certain things well. Like, I love the thing you do. I'm looking at, like, a doll head right now as we're doing
Little
this.
Little Hobo. Yeah.
And you do, like, this insane character. So funny. But what kind of sitcom is going to have that? Like,
none.
What kind of Little Hobo sitcom is there going to be?
But this is why I think we're existing in a really exciting time period. Because what's happened is, up until a few years ago, the only way that you had access to the distribution mechanism to get your art or your comedy out into the world was by going through the network system, which is a pyramid-shaped system with someone at the top who's the tastemaker of the world, who decides, okay, yeah, we're going to give this kid a shot. And they bring people in, and they put them into the fame machine, and they make them famous, and then after a while, that person fades away, and they bring a new person in.
I hate about that fame machine is that they always, and I'm, I guess because I'm 53 or whatever, but they always, you know, the demographic is always this moronic 17 through 34 demographic. Just fucking idiots. You're an idiot until you're 35. You know what I mean? I'm serious. Like, if you're out there and you're 25 and you're listening, just know that you're a fucking moron. No, I'm kidding.
No,
but
not
I'm not kidding.
That much.
Like there are, you know, you just don't fucking, like, they cater to people's, you know, puerile fucking.
Right.
You know, that demographic, and so they always have someone, you know, really young and cute, and it has nothing to do with
anything.
Fucking anything. It's just like, you know, and I'm sure, and there are good shows that I miss out on. Like, someone told me this new HBO show called Girls is actually good.
HBO puts out good stuff.
They do put out good stuff, but I saw the poster, and I was just like, just young, cute girls again. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck
you.
Off.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Also, yeah, and you know the other thing, man? Here's another thing that's not that fair to say, but I do think it's true. When you hire certain actors, particularly young, cute girls, to play the part of whatever the thing is you're wanting to do, a lot of very physically attractive people haven't had... this is such an unfair thing to say.
Oh, I haven't gone through a lot in their lives because the world comes to them because of their looks. I would think that's pretty true.
It's pretty true, not for everyone, because some of those beautiful people got fucked in the mouth by their uncle for 5 years straight in some cabin, and it scrambled them enough so that they experienced some.
Right. But it is a broad generalization.
You end up in a, I don't know what it would be like. I have no idea what it would be like to be a beautiful girl, but I can imagine what it would be like. And I don't think it's necessarily that great in the sense that you're walking through the streets and you're always feeling like guys are looking at you.
You always have to be on guard, right?
Yes. Yeah, you always know. You always feel like you're kind of being tricked. Like when a guy's right. talking to you or people around you, always right. there's always this thing underneath it where
right.
most
true.
Guys that are around you.
That's
are,
true. So let me reverse now what I'm saying about beautiful yes. young girls. They have it tougher than anybody.
Yeah. No, they don't. No, they fucking don't.
I guess it really totally.
Oh, is everybody trying to fuck you? I'm so sorry. Go take a hot bath. Get your feet rubbed by one of your man boys. You lucky sons of bitches. You should be happy. There's nothing more depressing to me than a miserable hot girl. It's like, seriously? You fucking were born
miserable. Yeah,
miserable
when
hot
she's
girl.
Miserable.
Oh, the world's so awful. Look at you. God threw you down into the greatest spacesuit of all time. You have the you have the ultimate fucking hypnotic power. You could combine that by just study philosophy for a month, and you could conquer the entire planet. You could be Cleopatra.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
It's like so, but that doesn't often happen because we end up, and by the way, listen, if I had been born as a symmetrical human and didn't have to create like an ulterior tail feather to hook up with girls, which for me is comedy, which is for many of us
right.
is being funny.
Right.
Then I would have gone the easy way too. Humans tend to go the easy
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's true too. Like, can I take this out?
Yes, please.
That's true too. And you know, I have to be grateful for, you know, being yeah. born into this spacesuit, as you call it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because developing a sense of humor is such a gift, I
yes.
think. Because what a fucking absurd, insane world this is. And
yeah.
the people who don't have developed senses of humor, I actually have an elitism. You know, my elitism yeah. and my snobbery centers around humor. Like when I see people who don't get certain things, like
sure.
don't have the acumen to get intense, deep humor. I'm
yeah.
like, you poor fuck.
Right.
You poor fuck. How do you go through life just taking everything like, oh, look at that beautiful bird, Dan. That's a beautiful bird, isn't it? Well, I guess I'm going to die for sponges. This is just somebody in Greece. I'm going to die for sponges today. And then after that, I'm going to cook red snapper.
Yeah.
And, you know, life has a dull patina to it because I have no sense of humor.
this
is the sponge diver with not much of a sense
yeah,
of humor.
Yeah, it's true, though. You do run into those people who, like, you know, they get around you and you're kind of this, like, unique thing because you're funny, but they don't really trust you. You're just like some kind of tumbleweed clown that comes into their perception for a second.
Yeah,
they,
right.
They don't really get it.
Tumbleweed clown, you know, that's funny.
You're weird. What a weird. He's a little unique.
Yes.
You're a little unique, aren't
Boy,
you?
Boy, this fella here, you know, he doesn't fit in with my sponge diving and my red snapper in the evening. He certainly has a take that's interesting on things to an extent, but I think he takes it too damn far.
He takes it a little too far. He's a unique character, but he does go too far.
Do you think comedy and having an unending sense of humor leads to nihilism? Do you know what I mean
yeah,
by that?
Yeah, sure, I do. When I've seen like extreme cases of it where people are going really deep into the deconstruction of the universe comedically,
yeah.
and I've done experiments around them, and what I've done is I've brought up because I know some people who are so fucking funny, but anything that comes into their periphery, they do to it what a lion does to a gazelle on the
yeah.
savannah. They just rip it to shreds,
yeah.
and they do it in a really funny way. But
yeah.
but inevitably, what ends up happening is they're just cutting up constructs with metaphysical scissors.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done that, and that's fucked to do too. Because at some point, you have to care.
Yes.
Like I always contradict myself. By the way, I was like,
I
was kind of making fun of that character in my head. You know, the sponge diver who
yeah.
takes things too seriously, but
he lives in you.
All these people live.
Yeah.
Everything lives in us.
Yes.
Every fucking thing lives
That's
in
right.
us. You know, so it's interesting because I go around hating things. You know, in my bad days, I go around hating
sure.
things. And that means I'm hating myself ultimately.
Right.
Because if I hate this fucking guy who doesn't have a sense of humor, I don't know, man.
I've been reading this awesome Buddhist meditation stuff by someone named Chogyam Trungpa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, he's great. Yeah. And his...
Which book? Is it a book?
It's called Spiritual Materialism is the one I'm reading.
Oh, yeah,
right now.
I have that book.
Well, he talks about this idea of, like, instead of trying to reject the hate or trying to get to the part of yourself when you're feeling the hate, you're bad. When you're feeling the spiritual sweet thing, you're good. His thing is no. It's all part of the same spectrum. And when you land on the spectrum of hate, don't worry about it. When you're hating the fucking boring, dumb sponge diver, that's fun. That's okay. You get to be in that place. But if you get in the situation where you're always trying to bounce from the hate into the holy, when you're always trying to clamber out of the hate into the holy place, you're just doing drugs. You're just trying to alter your mood state or your feeling state to fit the way you think spirituality should be, to fit the way you think it means if you're an advanced being.
Dude, I am just scratching the surface of what it means to be an enlightened person.
Right.
And like you're talking about it, like you, like, okay, so if you hate someone, don't fucking judge it. Like, judgment is a huge thing. Now, you have to have judgment and discernment to get along in life, but if you judge yourself, criticize yourself all the time, then you don't let yourself go through this process.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm hating now. I'm hating, but I'm hating, you know, I'm just hating in my mind. I'm not, you know, you don't want to actively yell, hey, you fucking sponge diving fuck. Like, you don't want to hurt anybody.
I do want to yell that one day. I hope I get to yell that one day.
Do you have a big sponge diver population that listens to this podcast? Like, is there a demographic here? But imagine, you know, podcasts have become so specific. It would be hilarious if, like, welcome to Sponge Diving Podcast. Today we are talking to Nikos, who found great sponge. Listen to me.
No, I've been thinking about, like, novelty podcasts like that. The dumbest idea I have was a podcast by monks who vowed silence. So it's just like you just hear them shuffling around, like they're like moving around on the couch.
You know, that would be a great fucking podcast. And the only people who listen to it are the other monks who vowed silence. And they just love hearing the shuffles. Like, and they know exactly what's being shuffled. Like, they're going, oh, he just, like, in their head, they're going, oh, he just shuffled the paper.
They're judging
it. Oh, it sounded like a sheaf.
Some of them are probably judging the silence. Some of them, the silence isn't silent enough. They're like,
You know, I bet that fucking happens.
They would think they'll grow. They'll learn to be more silent.
I bet that fucking happens.
They'll learn not to shuffle. Like, a good podcast would be no shuffles or just a couple of shuffles, and that's a good one.
But I want to talk about my latest fucking spiritual fucking revelation is love for oneself.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, if you don't have like a compassion for yourself, you're fucked.
That's right.
And as soon as you have compassion for yourself, anything is possible, because you have compassion for yourself, you then can have compassion for others. But more importantly, you have compassion for yourself and you just let yourself live. I have spent the great, great, great majority of 53 years going, what the fuck are you doing wrong, Eddie? What the fuck? And then I turn it on the world. Like, I turn that vibe. And it's funny, but it's sort of like that comedian you're talking about who fucking goes around with the scissors cutting up everything. And they do that because there's no inner acceptance, you know?
Right.
And I'm recently getting to a place where it's like, okay, I don't, like a breath, you know, like, okay, I don't have to hate everything.
Yeah.
The world is not, even though there's a lot of shit in the world, you know, a lot of violent people, a lot of, you know, evil in the world.
Yeah.
There's also a tremendous amount of love in the world, that kind of thing. And love in me, and I'm not a bad person, is like the key to fucking any kind of hope.
Anything. And it's also the key to, it's also the key to, I think, it's the key to being cool to the people around you. Because if you've got that hate for yourself, you're certainly going to have hate for everyone around you.
But it's also what the corporate capitalistic world banks on. They bank on you hating yourself. Because the only way they're going to sell this shit is if you feel like you lack things.
Oh yeah, they try to and they want to induce that sense of lack, and that's why the magazines the magazines are always covered with these symmetrical, beautiful Photoshop people. So you look at this, it's like looking at an alien species. You never run into these motherfuckers.
Yes, that is true. You know, today I was in this place where I was just looking at everybody, and that was actually my thought. I said, look at these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They are so fucking human and so fucking beautifully ugly.
Yeah.
So fucking beautifully ugly.
I love that. I love that. That's what I love. The when the to me, there is nothing more exciting and attractive when you're around a girl maybe who isn't like symmetrical, but all of a sudden you start talking to her and you realize that like she's got this radiant, beautiful, incredible personality. And suddenly, like, all the imperfections go from being what your initial ape judgment might have described as, like, not appealing to being beautiful. That everything glows up like a glows like a Christmas light because what's inside of them is so fucking radiant and beautiful. That's my favorite thing.
Right.
As opposed to the opposite of that, which is a very beautiful person, and you get around
with a dead spirit.
Yeah, and there's just nothing. There's
what about a beautiful person with a beautiful spirit?
Get them the fuck away from
me. Danger. Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, that's danger. That's bad news, man. That's an eddy that'll suck you into a relationship there. I mean, you know, anything, any eddy can suck you into eddy.
This eddy can.
Man. But, you know, I want to, one thing you mentioned earlier that I wanted to talk about was the thing about you don't want to yell at the boring sponge diver, right? You don't want to.
Well, you don't want to create harm, right?
Well, that's.
You don't want to fucking, you know.
I don't know. See, this is the place where I like keep sort of coming up against, because it's it's like you've got like the ultimate version of this, which is the Christian, the true Christian Jesus, which is like turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
If your enemy wants you, like, carry your enemy's coat, get nailed to the fucking cross, don't fight back, die in the name of love. That's the ultimate example of that. And but then in real life, sometimes I've noticed that I've had some great personal growth from people not being necessarily sweet to me.
Oh, yeah.
But
well,
being really honest.
And, yeah, totally.
And, you know, like, just not enabling. It's like some people want to avoid conflict so much that they pretend that they're being spiritual and empathetic.
Right, I agree.
When
with that.
Really it's like, no. This is something that needs to be addressed, and you're going to help this person a lot by letting them feel the fury of your anger.
No, that's true too. That's true.
It's not all the time. In fact, hopefully it doesn't happen more than a few times in your life that you have to get to that place.
No, I had a guy go. I had a guy tell me to go fuck myself the other day. You know, like really right to my face in a nasty way, and it twisted me out for like God almost a whole day.
Yeah,
but I felt like I really learned a lot from that shit.
Right.
You know, I learned about my own anger, because the reason he told me to go fuck myself is because I was telling him to go fuck himself.
There you go.
You know, and I realized, well, if I do that to someone, it will have consequences.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It's fucking, I've been calling it shit ping pong, where like you're playing ping pong with a nice stinky ball of shit, and every time you knock it to whoever it is or the person, they knock it back. And the thing about the game of shit ping pong is quite often the ball of shit, it gets bigger every time you return it. It keeps growing and growing and escalating.
Yeah, this could have escalated, but we both kind of just separated.
Right.
But we both kind of put poison into each other and then left. It was like two tarantulas who like stung each other and then split. And it, the poison didn't kill
each,
you know, it was just enough poison to fuck each other up for a few hours.
Brilliant. It's the fucking worst. And all day long, people do that. All day long, people go around stabbing each other with a little shot of poison.
Yeah, but you know, on my good days, like yesterday, I had a really good day. When I was in the car, because out here in LA, when I get in a car, that's when my poison, like that's one of my triggers.
Sure.
Like when people cut in front of me for no fucking reason, I'm like this. When someone just cuts in front of me, I'm like, and they don't put their signal on and they do it like in a dangerous way and for no fucking reason, but they want to get it to another lane. I'm like on a bad day, I'll go, you motherfucking cocksucker. And I'll tailgate them and follow them and fucking confront. But you know, on a good day like yesterday, that person cuts in front of me, and this is a good day. I go, huh? Look at that silly god creature.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that silly asshole.
Yeah.
Who? You know what? I'm not going to take it personally. You ever read The Four Agreements?
Which is
a great fucking book. And
I have
one of the agreements. You've never read that one? Check that one out. The Four Agreements. I forget who wrote it, but one of the agreements, he goes, don't take anything personally. Everyone comes from their own dream.
Wow.
That's how he puts
That's
it.
That's fucking cool.
Like the person who's cutting in front of me.
Yeah.
It's not about me.
Sure.
But that's, you know, that's on a good day.
That's, well, yeah. Well, the good, yeah, exactly. That is the funny thing. I definitely ebb in and out of that the place of being where I'm not playing shit ping pong. It's like, but you've got this, I like to think about it like, okay, there's the Big Bang, right? The Big Bang happens, this enormous burst of energy, and this this thing that was some singularity begins to differentiate itself and continues to complexify and differentiate itself as this energy gets blasted out through time until finally it complexifies and harmonizes itself to the point where it becomes us. And all those bursts of negative energy are remnants of the Big Bang energy that's been kind of transformed into this shit that fucking makes us want to scream at somebody when they cut us off. So it's like, if you grab that energy and then you expand it by throwing it back at the person, then you're continuing this kind of chaotic catastrophe that's happening. But if you grab the energy and figure out a smart way to flip it around so that when you throw it back at the person, it comes back as something amazing. And you can't always do this. This is speculation, but sometimes you really can do it. It always involves not being fair. It always involves someone's going to do some shitty thing. You know, like one basic classic example is you go to a restaurant, you get awful service because the fucking woman's in a hurry, and your instinct is, I'm going to leave a shitty fucking tip and say something nasty to this person.
Right.
But you fuck the system when you give them more than when you would have tipped someone who was a great waiter.
That is hard for me to do.
Yeah, man. It's shit like that. It's that kind of stuff. You start doing that throughout your life, and you begin short wiring this system of conflict. You start throwing in monkey wrenches into what is your monkey brain. You're throwing monkey wrenches into this.
Do you think you could, another way of talking about it, do you think you could just say it's love? Like, because that's because the other day I was just thinking, you know, it all comes down to love. Like,
yes.
And I know that's simplistic and everything, but like that is an energy. Like, if you could just focus your mind on love, it's like, I am not going to hate this person.
Yeah.
I am going to love this person. But again, it goes back to, do you have self-love? Cool. You know, do you have the ability to love yourself? And because I grew up in a very fucking dysfunctional family, and there was a lot of non-love. There was love, but there was a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there was a lot of hate.
Yes.
There was a lot of hate. And so then I fucking incorporate, you know what I mean? Like, we get the hate.
Yeah.
We pick up the hate from our families, from our teachers, you know, but you got to come out the other side of that and be love. And then you could go to a restaurant, get shitty service, and go, you know what? This really didn't affect my being in a fucking great way. I'm going to fucking leave this person a great fucking tip just to see the look on her face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's it. Novelty.
Or just to fuck the system. But if you're a person who resents everything because you've had a hard life.
Yes.
And you don't have that big heart. You know, your heart has to have love.
Well, you're a certain, so it's like basically you can go back to the idea of bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga is this idea of like, I'm going to become a servant in the classic sense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to become a servant of God. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a servant of love. Everything I do is going to be an act.
That's a beautiful discipline. You know, it's a beautiful ideal.
Yeah.
You know, we're human, so will it, you know, it's not going to be every day.
But you can't base it on.
It's a great ideal, right?
It's an ideal, and you can't base it on feeling. And if you base the activity of serving other people on feeling.
On feeling.
You're fucked, because you're not going to feel good.
What do you base it? You base it on.
You base it on an overlying, on a bigger idea than the way you feel from day to day. You just got.
Right.
We all have a big screaming baby inside of us that's howling it from time to time. And if you listen to the baby, you're going to continue to perpetuate conflict in the universe.
I've learned that you have to make peace with that baby. That screaming baby that's inside all of us, you have to make peace with it. You have to go, hey, you have to talk to the baby, and you're like, hey, baby. I'm just listening to myself.
Yeah. Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. No, you have to go, baby, it's okay. This is what you have to say to the baby without joking around. You have to say, baby, it's okay. You're going to be okay, dude.
Yeah.
You don't have to scream. It's over. The terror that you experienced, it's over. Yeah. We're okay right now.
Yeah.
We're okay. Don't fucking worry.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's what it all
comes down to. It's like always going, shh. You have to be your own parent. That's what I have learned, is that you have to be your own parent. You have to mother yourself.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it. Like a good mother, though. A good mother.
Yeah.
I didn't have a good mother.
Right.
Yeah, my mother was absent. Hey. My mother was a manic depressive bipolar.
Oh fuck.
So I have to learn how to mother myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
That's why I'm a comedian too.
Having a manic depressive mom.
Oh,
that's
it.
Just
that's
it's
why I'm
just,
insane. Well, yeah, I've been an insane person.
But you glow, Eddie. You've got a real positive sweetness about you that's so cool, man. And it's really amazing. Because I know that you work really hard on yourself. And so there's something so beautiful about when you see someone who's like earned it. You know what I mean? Like someone who fought the fucking fight and earned it.
I feel
it.
Like I have.
I did too.
It's only till recently, like 53, it took me a long time to finally go, holy shit, what fucking war are you fighting?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, man, because of the stuff I was, like, I'm a big, big left winger. And I get so mad. You know, I'm really into the Occupy movements.
Yes.
And I get so mad at what corporations and the military, like corporate violence, I call it, you know, what it does. But, you know, I don't want to walk around being fucking pissed off about it.
Right.
All the fucking time.
Well, no, you can't. I mean, to combat this thing is... this is something I've been thinking, because there was a time in my life where, and especially when I was really disorganized and I was really lost and I was really deep in depression and really like using like taking pills and doing too many drugs and being really scrambled. Mm. What I would do is I would, my attention would always get caught by anything having to do with the fall of society, the apocalypse, the conspiracy theories, the web of lies that the corporation sprays upon us. Now, you, I don't think you're coming to it from that place. I think you're coming to it from the place of someone who did a lot of work on themselves, and now you're ready to do something for your community. But I think, but I think some people like me, what I would do is I would, instead of dealing with myself first, I would start dealing with my rage at the corporations.
Me too.
You know that.
Me too.
You know that thing. And
oh, totally.
But what I believe, because I do think about this, man, and I am so fucking pissed. It's so many so many different aspects of the that entire pyramid shaped corporate structure, the diffusion of responsibility, the BP oil spill, the environmental disasters that are happening. All of it like freaks me out, and it gets me so fucking mad. But I have to compartmentalize that anger, And I have to think to myself, okay, how do we beat this? Because it ain't going to be by fucking marching anymore. And it certainly, we don't have the weapons to do an overthrow of the powers that be. And even if we did, something else would encroach upon it. That kind of shit, I don't think it's going to work anymore. So what's a real solution? And I think the real solution is to make yourself as happy and prosperous as you can while being as generous as you possibly can to the people around you. And if everyone starts doing that and forming little collectives based on people succeeding,
I think
as
that's
groups,
happening. Yeah, I do actually. Too. Someone told me about Detroit. Did you hear about Detroit? It's what they call, what the fuck? There are food shortages in that city. Like, it's I forget what the fuck the name of it is, but they're fucking starting to grow their own food out of necessity.
Yeah,
in Detroit.
Yeah, and that's
you know
great.
What I mean. In these poor,
and it's healthier.
Of course, it's healthier.
Yeah, they're growing.
Man, the corporate food is poisonous, and I'm not even talking about the genetically modified shit. Who the fuck knows about that? Yeah. But I'm talking about fast food, like that stuff, and how cruel it is to animals. Nobody ever fucking talks about that.
Yeah,
the cruelty to the factory farmed animals that make the food we eat.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just so brutal.
Yeah,
it's so fucking brutal, and it's just a reality that's taken for, you know, hey, how you doing, Joe? Hey, you know, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah, it is.
The violence that goes on right under our fucking noses, and it's like, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, there it is. We exist in a universe, a perilous universe, a brutal dimension. Nature is always brutal. If you look, man, have you ever watched fucking like the way that I just saw this
nature
thing.
Specials I do
or like like it was a wolf the way the wolves hunt
they have they but separate they don't fucking do it like we do where we institutionalize it and organize it and fucking
but if you gave wolves a frontal lobe they fucking would. I guarantee they would. And I'm not. By the way, I'm not justifying it. I don't want it.
But they don't have one for a reason.
They don't have a frontal lobe because they would. There would be nothing worse than a fucking wolf slaughterhouse.
I just saw a wolf yesterday here in L.A. It's supposed to be illegal, but someone was walking a part wolf dog, and it was amazing to see. It was just amazing to see. Like, it was not domestic. Like, you could see the part of it that wasn't domesticated.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. The so wild cool. thing. When you so see that big internet video where the little girl is sitting in front of the lion cage, did you see that?
Uh-uh.
It's some little girl sitting in front of a lion cage at the zoo, and the lion goes up, looks at the little girl, and is just, like, slapping at the cage, just wanting to eat the little girl. Just wants
Are you
to
serious?
Devour the baby. Wants to devour the baby. Because it's wild. The fucking thing is wild. It's not based on our ethics system. It's not based on morality. This is one of my favorite things about the Chronicles of Narnia, where, you know, Aslan.
Know Narnia.
Oh, my God. It's C.S. Lewis's, like, Jesus. It's supposed to be about Jesus.
Do you recommend the movie?
I the books. Just read the books. Okay. But Aslan is like supposed to be like the Christ energy, and it's a lion. And so at one point, Aslan's talking to this kid who's one of the characters in the book, and Aslan says, "I am not a tame lion." And what that means is this shit about like being like peaceful and sweet and phony holy and all that. That's not what it's about. This is about this thing that happens in the moment. This thing that happens in the moment that is outside of ethics and morality. Now, I'm not saying go eat a fucking cheeseburger for Jesus, or that it's good to like play into the factory farming system. I think that's
brutal. It doesn't have to be cruel.
It's rancid.
That's why I wouldn't
it's
eat
rancid
animals.
And awful, and it's and it's poisonous, and it's killing people.
It's killing it's completely destroying the environment.
And it's also
the way they raise cattle. The amount of fertilizer I think it's nitrous. Or CO2 that goes in the air is just fucking slaughter, warming the planet.
Yeah,
it's why this planet will be covered in oceans.
Well, let's hope. I mean, oceans still. Let's hope it's not just plastic filled oceans or whatever the thing is. But we've got to pull our fucking attention out of the macro and into the micro of our own personal lives. That's the thing. It's like instead of like, because I would get so caught up in this shit
in the macro.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's easy to. I mean, you know, especially...
The Federal Reserve. You turn into Alex Jones. You ever watch Alex Jones, InfoWars? Yeah. You turn into these... You'll freak the fuck out because maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. Maybe our entire society is like a group of playground kids inside an enclosure that's being monitored by people with sniper rifles. And the moment anybody gets a little too far outside of the enclosure, philosophically, they get shot. Martin Luther King, Gandhi, John Lennon. Maybe it's fucking true. Maybe it's true. I don't know. All I know is there's things in my direct control that I think are revolutionary actions that I can take.
Right. And those, I think that's right.
It's forming collectives with your friends, overcoming your fucking selfishness and trying to make the people around you prosper in a way that's based on fairness and not
hard to do in this capitalist marketplace that we live in this capitalist society that we live in, because it's based on your success is based on someone else's fucking failure.
Well, how do you mean? How do you mean?
How do I mean by that? I mean that, let's just take an actor. You know, I got the part. I got the fucking part on this sitcom because all these other fucking guys didn't get it.
But look,
I'm the one.
But that's a system. See, you're, when you talk about that, what you're
that's
doing,
what I'm talking
you're
about.
You're jumping into a system that's a hierarchical system.
Well,
that's
I'm talking
based
about
on,
the system we live in.
Right, but you can. This is what's really fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. The reason that that system is dying. And the reason that system is going out of is going to eventually have to redefine itself is because the only thing those motherfuckers had is access to distribution mechanisms access to technology.
That's
now we have access to the distribution mechanism. We have access to the technology. So what's coming down the pipes is collectives of artists and engineers getting together and shooting their own stuff and figuring out how to monetize it on their own. And these fucking podcasts are the precursors to that. This is the very first glimmer beginning of a new, and when you see fucking Gaffigan or goddamn Aziz or fucking Louis C.K. go and shoot their own fucking specials and make massive profits off of it that normally would have been absorbed by the reptilian suits that were exploiting them and only giving them a tiny piece of the pie. Every time that happens, that's a seismic tremor.
Is that what they're doing now, by the way?
Yeah, that's what they're doing, and it's incredibly profitable and it's lucrative to the point
where they distribute it now through the net. Period.
Yes.
That's awesome.
But the net is TV. The net is TV. Your TV is coming to you through the same fucking shit that the net's coming from anyway. So it's...
No, you're right.
That's where things are going. But the old system, if you want to go, if you want to do that, if you want to go, if you want to take a little drive down to the San Fernando Valley and fucking tap dance for Satan, go ahead. Go do it. You should do it because if you're lucky and you get in there, great. If you're lucky and you get in there, great. You'll make some money. But you know what you should do with the money that you make?
Yeah.
Start making your own shit.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? That's the idea. Start making your own shit. We've got to figure out a way to join together outside the umbrella of the networks to create really strong, good content that we can put out there and figure out a way to make some money from it so that we can sustain ourselves. And you do it as a collective and you do it as a revolutionary because you want to overthrow and overcome and transmute all pyramid-shaped systems, all top-down hierarchical systems. We got to turn everything...
You know, and the motherfuckers in power will scream at you, socialism. Like, that's their fucking code word. Yeah, like, that's fucking bad. Boy, does that fucking piss me off,
What are
man.
You, a socialist?
Yeah. Yeah, I am a socialist, you stupid fuck. That's what I want to say. I mean, I don't know, man.
I like people. I like
yeah,
Facebook.
I am a socialist. You got a fucking problem with that?
I'm
you
a social
fucking
person.
Cunt.
Yeah. I like humans. Does that fucking bother you that
my
I like humans?
God.
You know what? I don't like to see fucking children hungry. Is that weird? Does that bother you that I don't like to see a fucking
You don't like to see children hungry? You're a fucking socialist.
Yeah, suck my fucking dick, you motherfuckers. But we're not going to beat them.
They're in power still. They're entrenched, those motherfuckers. And you're right. What you said is beautiful, man, about the collectives and people doing that. And
many collectives.
People are doing that.
They are doing it, and it's working. I mean, my friend Dustin just started his own podcast network called Feral Audio. That's giving all the people on it a fair shake. They're not there. Everyone's getting their whatever money people are getting. They're giving a little cut to pay for the network. But like, it's a collective of people coming together and using the synergy that the networks. All we have to do. What's really awesome about these fucking cocksucker corporations is they spent billions of dollars researching how to form a structure that generates a ton of money in an unfair way. All we have to do, we can reverse engineer corporations and look at them and be like, okay, what are they doing that's working? Well, one thing they're doing that's working is they have a synergy. Like on NBC, they'll advertise for their own shows on NBC.
Right.
So, okay, well then for a podcast network, why don't we advertise each other's own shows and try to like yeah. pump
Are you part
each
of a
other.
Network?
I'm part of Feral Audio. Yeah,
oh,
I'm
cool.
part of Feral Audio. It just happened, but I'm also going to Rogan starting his own little network too. And it's not like you can only be limited to one network. The whole point is
right.
we find a group of like-minded funny people.
Yeah.
We all get together, start producing. I mean, podcasts, the word is going to change for these things, but we start producing entertainment and we do it together and we help each other and
right.
we give each other as much help as we can to try to to create like a fair collective. That's the whole idea. Because these motherfuckers,
right.
man, they're giving the artists a tiny piece of the pie.
It's unreal.
And it's not just the goddamn networks, man. There's fucking theaters. There's theaters in LA that charge money for tickets at the door and do not reimburse the comics. And you know who I'm talking about. What
yes,
the fuck?
Yes.
And there's
That's bullshit.
And there's
too.
Fucking podcast networks that take money for donations and make the fucking people on the podcast networks advertise and don't give them a fucking cent. They say that, oh, no, we're paying you with publicity.
Right, right. It's
you
always know? Publicity. The
yeah.
comedy clubs do that, too. Oh, you're being seen.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, how about this? How about the people who are, how about you stop charging money at the door and let people pay you in publicity tickets? How about that, you motherfucker?
I know, exactly.
If it's so valuable, why don't you put some of that publicity in the bank?
Exactly.
Because that shit don't collect interest, and it doesn't buy
exactly.
food. And a lot of comedians are hungry, and a lot of artists need to
yeah.
fucking get a goddamn meal. And you, like,
true.
So,
no, it's good. It's a good rant, and it's really where things need to go, man.
Yeah,
because the corporate structure is basically destroying the world, and it will destroy it. I mean,
yeah.
that's not an overstatement. It is literally destroying the world, and it's killed billions of people.
Yeah.
already.
Yeah, but we can't beat it by attacking it. The walls are too large around that. The only way we can
right.
beat it is by looking at it, imitating it,
and just doing
and
what,
forming our own
yeah.
collectives and becoming incredibly prosperous together. Because once that
right.
starts happening, because this idea of like, you know, when people think of socialism, they imagine a bunch of Russians sitting on the floor of a shed eating a fucking potato. They don't. This is what they want us to believe. They want us to
That's
believe
what they use.
That it means being poor. They want us to believe
right.
that it means being hungry. It
yeah.
doesn't mean
and
that.
you can't say anything.
Yeah.
It's
man.
The opposite.
Oh, and
though.
You're being repressed. It's the opposite. It's the total
yeah.
opposite. It's
yeah.
socialism is how we survive for thousands of years as tribes. We would work together to try to hunt and to try to grow food, and we would raise each other's
mm-hmm.
children, and we would share stories with each other,
yeah.
and we'd fucking rise up together. That's the idea, man, right?
Totally. I think so, totally. The way people get isolated in this world, you know, struggling to fucking work for these few companies, and they also think they're free in this
yeah.
country, and they're so not free. They have a fucking million cereals to choose from, but they have no health care.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they have a fucking, they could have Frankenberry and Count Chocula and, you know, the granola
sure.
and this and that and then, but they can't afford a fucking doctor's
That's
visit.
Right.
That's the system they live
That's
in.
Right.
No, I don't have any health care, but I'm going to get this fucking bitchin' pair of sunglasses.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm getting a new app on my phone. Do you have a job? Nah, not right now. And the job I have to work about 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I get paid nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's, we don't have to do that anymore. We have access
yeah.
to the technology.
Yeah. You know what you're talking about? You're talking about disengaging.
from the monster.
Yeah.
You know, I did one simple act. I closed my fucking bank account with Wells Fargo.
Wow.
That felt so fucking good. And I put it into the SAG-AFTRA credit union.
Wow.
I put it into my fucking credit. You know, and for some reason, I was like, oh, I don't know. Should I do that? It was so fucking easy. I went in there. I was like, yeah, I'm closing my account. Oh, is there anything wrong? No, no, not nothing at all.
Yeah.
I just want to be out of here.
That's badass.
Oh, really? Can we help? Can we offer you anything? No.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. And you know what? I really don't want to talk about it. I just want to close it out if we could.
What did they do? Did they write you a check? How did that work? They wrote you a check for what was in there? They gave you cash?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Man. I so that act is a revolutionary act.
Yeah,
you
it's acts like
from
that.
The machine.
And if disengage, and you're talking about disengaging from the fucking networks
or
whatever.
About, you know,
as an artist.
You can I'm not even saying listen, TV money?
Yeah.
That's great money.
Right.
It's
right.
good, and it's also a lot of publicity. A lot of people love acting on TV.
Right.
And a lot of people, I'm
right.
not saying even turn your backs on them. I'm just saying simultaneously while trying to pursue this antiquated, brutal, dehumanizing shit system.
Yes.
Simultaneously, yes. See if you can start
simultaneously, right.
Simultaneously start right. working on becoming part of ethical collectives that are working together in whatever the pursuit is to make the individual members prosperous in a fair way. Start forming those or
right.
joining them,
right.
and then
now I could play devil's advocate because I'm sure what these fucks would say is, oh, you wait and see, those ethical collectives, as soon as they have some power, they're gonna turn evil too.
Yeah,
like I could see them coming back at you with
they will. I mean, that, you know, and you literally are playing devil's advocate because you're playing the advocate for people who, as you said, are destroying the planet. And they love to hiss and whisper about, oh, you'll see what happens. They're going to be in the rift. Turn into us. It's like, no, we're not going to fucking turn into you because we're learning. We're evolving. We're looking. We're watching you. We watched you for a long time. And we're starting to figure out how to fuck you over, how to pull the carpet out from under your fucking hooves and watch you go falling back into hell. We can do it.
Yeah.
It's starting
to
happen.
I'm just thinking of like the ABC, NBC, CBS, those putrid, and Fox, you know, the four majors, just their product is the same year after year.
Yeah.
It's the same. Like, there's a funny neighbor.
Sure.
Funny in quotes, and you know, there's the cute this and the cute that, and they talk about nothing, and nothing is connected to anything, and it's all just drivel, and they've been doing that for I don't know how long.
They've been doing it for as long as they could hypnotize the people who are sedated and fucking sucking back those cheeseburgers. But it's not working as
That's
much
right.
anymore because people have access to better entertainment. The subscription-based services are better. HBO is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is the shit. And also...
Is Game of Thrones the shit?
Oh, it's great. And there's also part... There are some networks that aren't so bad. Fucking Walking Dead, man. That's a great show.
AMC.
There are some shows that are out there that are great. The cable shows are good. The point is, man... If you have a skill, if you have any kind of talent, if you have any kind of even a desire to give, you know, you can fucking make it work, man. Because I'll tell you, those cunts made it work. If they made it work, you can make it work. Any of us can make it work. We just can't be greedy. Man, Eddie, I know you got to go. It's
Oh, yeah. This went by quick.
It went by quick. It went by really quick.
How should we wrap it up? I don't know how to wrap it up except I love what you were talking about. I mean, you just brought me lunch today from a place called Forage. And is that from locally grown stuff?
Yeah, it's locally grown stuff. And I'll tell you, I didn't buy you lunch. You know who bought you lunch? The people who donate to this fucking podcast bought you lunch.
Right, people should donate, man. To the because you know that's when they're using their money to get the entertainment they want.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, this isn't some plea for donations I really don't care. It doesn't matter. But what it lets me do is go to like a pretty nice place like Forge and just fucking splurge. Get that for Eddie, that for Eddie, that for Eddie, that for Eddie.
That's really nice.
And then and it's fucking awesome. But this is an example of like what these new I don't know. Anyway, the way to close, you know, one way I like people closing is like people who listen to this, man, and the people who listen to this are really fucking are like seekers. And I love like people who have some spiritual insight to like give some advice or something that you've learned or something that these people can kind of assimilate and try out this week or for the next month or give them some kind of thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, fuck, man. One, there's so many things, but I've tried meditation, I've tried prayer. I'll tell you what I would tell your seekers: get a book called "I Am That" by Maharaj Nisargadatta. I Am That, Maharaj Nisargadatta. That's what I'll tell your listeners to do. And that book just constantly blows my mind. I've been reading it now for about 15 years, and it's one of those books. It's called A Spiritual Classic, and it's by one of the, like, this guy is just, you know, he's considered worldwide as to be one of the, he's dead now, but considered worldwide to have been one of the great spiritual masters, just a storekeeper. A storekeeper of a small shop in Bombay who was fucking enlightened. And this book, I Am That, is a compilation of questions and answers. Like, seekers came from around the world, and he just talked about consciousness. And the book, I've been reading it for 15 years, and it's the type of book where every time you open it, you go, oh, that's what the fuck. Like, it's badass. Layered. It's like,
I'm going to order it right after this. That sounds so fucking cool. It's Shopkeeper. I'm hooked. And I don't know why that appeals to me so much. Eddie, where can we find you online?
Go to eddiepepitone.com, and that kind of has all my stuff right there. And there's the other thing I want to plug is there's a documentary coming out about me. It should be released early September, something like that. It's called The Bitter Buddha. Steve Feinhardt's filmed me for over a period of like 4 months, and it's about my life and my stand up, and it's called The Bitter Buddha, and look for that soon.
Yeah, will you come back before when that comes out? Come back and then
definitely.
And okay, cool. And on Twitter, you're Eddie Pepitone on Twitter
at Eddie Pepitone. Follow my different podcasts, the Long Shot podcast with Sean Conroy and Amber Kenny and Jamie Flom. And then I do the Dana Gould Hour, another great podcast.
Cool.
David Feldman podcast. Those are my podcasts.
Beautiful. We're going to have all these links up in the comments section of the website. Thank you very much, Eddie.
Thank you, Duncan.
Beautiful. Thanks, man.
Now enjoy Small Acts from the amazing Bob Marley album, Africa Unite. My friend.